Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on September 28th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lips, and of course with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, Joe.
All right. Happy Friday, Mark. I think Jackie is still working with Caitlin, but she'll be back soon. And so how was your Happy Friday email today?
Well, it was it went out. Hold on.
What?
Excuse me. I always worry if these things are too long because I just like add to them through the week, and they begin to get pretty long. But no, it went out. So the chamber is right now getting ready for Heroes of Manhattan. I hope you guys can be there. That's going to be October 17th. So we're all getting ready. We've got police. We're going to honor police, fire, our lifeguards. We're going to honor Charlotte Lesser as the community champion of the year. And Chief Derek Gable, because as community leader of the year, as he's been overseeing both the police and the fire department. And then we're going to be honoring a lifeguard, Mario Rodriguez, who just had a crazy day on July 4th, rescuing swimmers in a riptide that kept dragging them into the pilings of the Manhattan Beach Pier. And he was going back and forth. His supervisor just wrote up this incredible citation for him that just was amazing. And not only that, but they said he's just an amazing employee to have as well. He'll always come in and take a shift if someone needs, can't be there, and he's always there when they need him. And so he's a model employee as well. We're going to have some fun live auction items there, like dinner with the fire department, ride along with the police department. We've got a night at Shade and dinner at Zinc. We've got a night at Terranea and an activity at Terranea, just plus lots of other live auction giveaways. So should be fun.
Right.
And,
I'm back.
Hey.
And we were just talking about our Heroes of Manhattan, Jackie Balestra, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So I'm excited. It's October 17th. It's a lunch, and it's just going to – I'm trying to make it – I don't want to make it a somber because I want to celebrate, but at the same time, I want these guys to smile and enjoy their time with each other and with us at this lunch. So it should be a lot of fun. And then next week, mm-hmm. October 3rd, we've got we're having our lunch and learn that we do once a month. It's going to be actually up at Marymount University in Palos Verdes, and we're going to be meeting the president of the university is going to be talking to our little group. We can only take 30 people, so I'm not sure what we're at right now, but we can only hold 30 people at that lunch. If you're going, if you're interested in going to the lunch at Marymount, which is also in a beautiful location, beautiful setting, and meeting the president of the university and meeting other people from the Manhattan Beach Chamber who are going to be there, register now at manhattanbeachchamber.com and get your choice of a lunch in there. So it's we're just constantly spinning plates over here. trying to keep our head above water, all those cliches.
Feeding is limited.
Spinning plate.
Yeah. Feeding is limited.
Yeah. What did I miss?
Awesome.
Did you?
Nothing. I was just kind of recapping what's going on with the chamber coming up. But the main one is Heroes of Manhattan. But we do have Women's Mastermind. Maybe you could do a solo broadcast from Women's Mastermind, Jackie.
Ooh. Oh, men not invited, huh?
Well, you know, you can't say that. You can't say men cannot join, but it is called Women's Mastermind.
Yeah.
So
it's called Women's for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, if you want to get in touch with your feminine side, I guess, come on over, guys. But it's Women's Mastermind. We can't stop you, but for women, of women, by women, to women. You know?
Oh, in this day and age, we have to be so careful. You know, I know something funny. Somebody sent me a press release regarding an event. It's an art exhibit, and it was so far out there. It was like an artist statement that was the press release, and it was so far out there I couldn't make heads or tails of it. You know, because I generally put a little description when I post the info on my website. I put a description what people can expect, and this was so far out there. I actually wrote back and said, "Can you send me a different press release?" But they spelled women, WOMXN. They took the E out, so it's not woman. You know what I mean? Because the root is man,
mm-hmm.
and they took out the A altogether, and they spelled woman WOMXN. So I don't know what it means. I'm not making a statement here.
Well, I'd say that
it was interesting.
You know, make it a statement. That is kind of interesting. Where did woman come from? Is that
It came from men.
I know the story.
Yeah,
I'm talking
about
like men and then women. So they're just combining.
Well, it's an extension. It's an extension. Yeah. Women, according to whatever, is an extension of men. Man was there first, and then woman came, and we're supposed to be an extension, which I totally get why we wouldn't want to be considered that. But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, there we go. See, the issue goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Holy, you know.
Well, listen, I'm very excited about today's show because we've talked about your YEA, the Young mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs Academy, several times. But today, we're going to get it from a different angle. I'm very excited about this. We've had the facilitators on. You know, we've had you on to talk about it a couple of times, you know, the background of it, what it does, you know, how people can enroll and stuff. But we've never actually had one of the graduates. So I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a program that I'm passionate about. And people have pushed back on it, which always amazes me that I can have people push back and say, well, what's that got to do with local business as the chamber? You know, and I'm going, whoa, we're creating the next business leaders, hopefully, you know, because these people learn at the most, they learn and really take to heart starting a business, and they have a blueprint for developing that business and moving ahead and making things happen. And I mean, because how many people say to themselves, oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm not really sure how I get started. What do I do? Where do I go? And this is actually a year-long program, a nine-month program that gives you that blueprint and takes you through the process and creates mentors and has people you can talk to who have been successful. We create those kinds of environments, too, with our CEO roundtable and all of that. We visit businesses. So that's at the most, you really walk away with a business like our guest has and others that you're going to take forward, and who knows where it will go from there. And then, at minimum, at the end of this program, when I see these, first of all, when I see these kids speak and or these students speak in the beginning, it's typical student speak, like. And when you get to the end of the program and they're getting up there and they're doing their presentation, the self-confidence, the security, the professionalism, these truly are, and what it says on the back of our T-shirt, from student to CEO. I mean, they get up there, and all of a sudden, they are just polished little CEOs, and it's really cool to see it happen.
And I think, you know, what's just as important, I don't know if either of you read my opening paragraph in my weekend guide yesterday, but I gave a shout-out, you know, to the people, the 20%ers, or some people say the
10%ers. Yeah, no, I saw that.
The people that step up and just get things done, and it's the same people. And it's great to be exposed to those people. You know, they can become mentors. It's great for the younger generation to see what those that came before them are doing and how much they do. You know, it's a great example to have around them. So,
both of you guys should come to the investor panel, which is towards the end of the it's the coup de grace of the program, and that's the final couple of weeks. That's where it's before graduation, but it's final couple of weeks, and that's where each of these students get, they may get money to start their project. They may get all of their money that they're requesting. They may get some of it. Everybody gets a little something. But you will watch these kids do their presentations, and you will think, oh, my gosh, okay, the world's going to be all right. You know, we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's these kids are just amazing. And come up with great ideas. We have about seven from the YEA program, seven or eight businesses that are still going out there from kids. You'll see them at hometown fairs and Fiesta Hermosas and street food cinemas. And the Austin has his product at the Green Store. You'll see Nokai has his business is at Spider Surfs, all the Spider Surf shops. So they're doing it. They're making things happen. And it's just a blast. To me, if you had to have a program that you wanted to brag to a college recruiter about, this would be the one. Because it has real meat to it. It's not just check the box and say, okay, I participated in this. So just know that, Mr. College Recruiter, that I've got all these things that I did in college. This is real information. Real.
All right.
It's like a business school, a year-long business.
Yeah. Now, I just have to say I wasn't chatting with you guys earlier because I was trying to remediate the – we were having some sound issues, so I'm hoping that our guest sound issue is taken care of now. So, Joe, do you want to get to it?
Yes. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Caitlin Sciarrino, a graduate of the Manhattan Beach Chamber's Young Entrepreneurs Academy. Now, Caitlin is currently a junior at MiraCosta High School and is the news director for the Mustang Morning News. She is also the founder of Kindheartedly, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Now, Kindheartedly's mission is to provide girls who enter the foster care system empty-handed with a kind kit containing a new outfit, basic fashion and grooming essentials, and inspiring self-esteem boosting items to help ease their transition. Kindheartedly's vision is to empower girls to be the best representation of themselves. It is a volunteer-driven organization that counts on surrounding communities and donors to provide resources to foster youth. Now, this morning, we're going to catch up with Caitlin and learn more about Kindheartedly and her inspiration to launch a nonprofit. Welcome to the program, Caitlin. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I just want to go back really quickly to your earlier point. I think especially now, empowering youth to be active about issues that we're passionate about is really important. And last year, the word of the year was YouthQuick, which means a youth-driven social or political movement. And as we heard earlier, I started Penn heartedly. And I think YA really helped give me the skills and the tools I needed to start, which, like I said earlier, is especially important right now. So I'm really excited to talk about my experience with that today and tell people a little bit more about it.
Nice. Okay. Now, Caitlin, put your – I don't know if you're – because you were going in very clear, and then you were sort of muting or sort of fading away. Are you staying right on the speaker on the phone?
Yes, I am. I can. Did you not hear me? Do you want me to repeat it, what I said?
Well, it changed, Caitlin. That's what we're talking about.
It's
changing. So we want to know what
move.
The differences are between one sentence
you gotta
and the other.
You got to stay in one place. Don't move. all right.
So
all right. Well,
I think these kids are so much more mature than I ever even envisioned myself being at their age. It's unbelievable. I talk to these kids, some of them in sixth grade, eighth grade, not, and I shouldn't even say kids. They really are young adults.
Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin, I've known others. Oh, my gosh, when I hear them, like what she just said, to be saying that, well, first of all, it just really points out that girls are light years ahead of the boys. So much. It's unbelievable, you know. I mean, but I'm just amazed going, what was I thinking when I was a kid? So
I have to ask Caitlin something right off the bat. So did you come up with this idea before you entered the YEA program, or was it an idea that you came up with once you were in the program?
Yeah, so the idea started about 3 years ago when I was in seventh grade, and I started volunteering at Maryvale Orphanage in Rosemead with my mom, Christine Trino, through my National Charity League program. And so when I was in eighth grade, I organized a fundraiser to benefit the girls of Maryvale. And at my middle school, Manhattan Beach Middle School, we raised over $10,000 in product donations. And so that was when I was in eighth grade. And then as I was becoming more passionate about this issue after the fundraiser, I realized I wanted to continue finding a way to fundraise for the girls of Maryvale. And so I was presented with the opportunity to join YEA. And at that point, I wasn't really sure in what capacity I could continue my fundraising efforts, because it doesn't seem very feasible for a ninth grader to be able to start a 501c3.
All right, wait a minute. I'm so sorry, because the sound is just really not good, and we're missing a lot of what you're saying. I'm going to take her into the green room. You guys talk a little more. I'm going to see if we can figure this out. All right, Joe?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, don't you wish – I mean, what were your kids – when our kids were in high school, because our kids played baseball together.
Right.
Did your kids ever sit on the couch and try to come up with ideas or think about ideas to start a business or find that killer app?
Well, I've always been an inveterate
entrepreneur.
I've always been trying to be an entrepreneur of one kind or another, but I don't think that I really carry that effort to my children as much as I wish I had. I wish I had involved them more, because it is a very educational process.
Well, they're saying, well, first of all, with my kids, that seemed to happen all the time. They were sit on the couch and they all tried, especially my youngest, who is now at Oregon and in economics and business and all of that. They try to come up with the and I really notice it more with him. They try to come, you know, they dream up ideas. You know, every now and then he'll call me. He said, "Dad, what do you think about this? Me and some buddies were talking. Mm-hmm. We're starting this web, you know, and starting something." And so you mentor them a little bit on that, but if they had had this, I'm just curious. Of course, our kids may not have had the bandwidth to do a program because they were so involved in sports. For a kid to do this, after school, even on one day a week, the coaches were so adamant about being at every single practice, you know. So I'm not sure that our kids could have done it, but it would have just been a nice opportunity for them. And that's why I also think this is a program. I mean, imagine if this was a program in the school. It really, I mean, it is a nine-month program, and it could be part of a wheel at the school where, you know, once a week they have this class and they
all
have
right,
this
we're
project.
Back.
Well,
so,
we've
back.
Talked about
okay,
this
we're
before,
back.
Mark. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just one last point. So Mark and I were having a great discussion. We have talked about this before, Mark, and one of the things that's missing from the American educational system is vocational training.
Right.
If it's not shop and working with machines and engines and motors, it should be something like the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, because this is real life, making money, creating jobs, working on cars. This is real life, and our educational system does not prepare children for real life.
Well, they say we're losing our entrepreneurial spirit, which was what drove us into the industrial age, you know, from the steamboat on, from all of those things. We're losing that entrepreneurial spirit because we're so concentrated on STEM and STEAM, and then also on helping the underperformers, that we forget about that kid who just dreams and comes up with ideas and wants to put things together. That almost, you know. And by the way, it doesn't have to be vocational in the sense of working on cars. That's important. And like I've always said, you know, our plumbers will be the new landlords on the Strand. At some point, because that's going to, you know, we're losing that art. And so to find people who are interested in doing those things, it's difficult, but.
Okay. Let me ask Caitlin that question again. Caitlin, did you come up with the idea before you entered the academy or after? Just let's go back to that now that we can hear you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. My bad. I was at school and I ran out after my AP history class. But what I was saying earlier is that originally started a fire with I had been volunteering in Maryville for about a year with my mom, Christine Trino, and we volunteered together with National Charity League, which is a mother-daughter volunteer organization. And after about a year of volunteering there, I knew that I wanted to do something more than what I was doing at that point. So I launched a fundraiser at MBMS when I was in eighth grade, and we raised over $10,000 in product donations for the girls. And at that point, I was walking around as an A student. I wasn't sure what opportunities were available to me. So I decided when I was presented with the opportunity to find YEA, and I wanted to continue this mission of mine. So I did have an idea before I got into YEA, but I wasn't exactly sure how I could make that dream of mine a reality. And that's what YEA helped me with.
All right, Mark. So, take us through, Mark, take us through the steps with when you met Caitlin, how she presented her concept.
Well, you mean how she presented it to YEA? There's basically two, and right now, by the way, we're in the interview process. So if anybody out there has send your mom, if you have a daughter or son who's interested and has that entrepreneurial spirit, has always seemed to have that spirit about them, and you'd like to get into the 2018-19 class, give us a call at the chamber. We're interviewing. We've been interviewing all this week. I have interviews from 10 until 2 o'clock tomorrow with people interested in joining, getting involved with YEA. So it's really going to be an incredible class, really full class this year. What we tell kids, the first few weeks of the class are coming up with your idea, thinking about your idea. You know, is it idealistic? Is it realistic, some of the ideas? You know, if you're wanting to sell moon rocks and you're not thinking it through how you're going to get the moon rocks and the cost of building that rocket and getting to the moon, getting the rocks, getting them back, all of a sudden it's billions of dollars. You're going, okay, that's not realistic. You really maybe ought to come up with another idea. But also some some of these students come in with an idea, like Caitlin, Paloma Burgess in the last class had, she went to France with her parents and saw the lavender, fell in love with lavender in France, came back, planted the whole backyard in lavender, makes lavender soap and sachet bags. Now she's got this business. And like Caitlin, she came in with an idea but had not put any structure to it, you know, a business plan, a marketing plan, Paloma had a website, but, you know, all the materials and all the roadmap to take it from the idea and sweat equity to something where you had investors and where you had a DBA, you know, a business license, all the things that turn it into a legal entity that you can promote and be responsible for. And so,
she came in
with the idea.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
I had a 40-page business plan. I gave a presentation to a panel of CEOs, and then I won funding, kindheartedly. So the chamber, after I won the seed funding, the chamber referred me to Pay for All Group, who helps me form a 501c3 nonprofit organization in the state of California, which, obviously, without writing a call, I would have no clue about what steps to take as to form an actual 501c3. So that was really, really helpful. And after the homework kind of was created and through the whole process, I kept on reaching out to people at my YEA class and other people that I had come to know through the YEA program. For example, every couple of weeks we'd have a speaker come in and talk to us, and I still talk with some of these people. They donate to my program, they give me ideas, they give me feedback, and it's a really valuable experience now, even 2 years after I've graduated from the class.
Now, okay, this is interesting because yours is a 501c3 nonprofit. Mark, because you mentioned Paloma, and that's, you know, that's a business she wants to make money with. Mark, how many students come in with the idea for a nonprofit as opposed to a profit?
Well, I don't know how many, you know, I couldn't say that. I mean, I don't know. We always have, you know, when you talk to the students and when we talk about developing your business, you know, we say don't just think of widgets, think of purpose too, or purpose-driven businesses and socially oriented businesses. And so we do have, we always have a few of those every year. And Caitlin's is one of them that's really gotten some legs and taken off, and she's really made it happen. And if you listen to the whole idea behind Kindheartedly, wow, that's just, you know, it's fantastic. But we do have a number of people who talk about, who get into those areas with their business versus just selling, a product. So
Caitlin, tell us where you've gone from since you finished the academy. Tell us your successes. Tell us what difficulties you've had.
Right. So after I graduated from the program, I got in contact with a lawyer, Trey Fall Group, and then I went through the process of, you know, figuring out my bookmaker, figuring out exactly what I would need to become a 501c3. And obviously, as a high school student, at first, it seemed a little bit hard to manage. Like I mentioned, I'm also the news director for the Monday Morning News at Maricopa High School. And so at first, I had a little bit of difficulty trying to make time for all of my passions and trying to make sure, you know, staying on top of my schoolwork and doing the Monday Morning News and trying hard to be and all that. But like I said, I have a lot of time with that team helping me move forward with Kindheartedly. And so recently, we've done a lot of really exciting things. I launched my website a couple of months after YEA finished, and then a couple of months after that, all my paperwork finished. So in September of last year, I became an official 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so our whole idea behind that is that we are giving girls the opportunity to explore and embrace their personal style and creativity and fashion. So I'm a teenage girl, and there's certain things that, you know, when you look good, you feel good. And these girls that are in the foster care system don't necessarily have these same resources. And they don't, you know, they get taken from their homes in the middle of the night sometimes because they're being taken from special circumstances. And so obviously that would destroy, you know, your self-esteem, self-confidence. And so I feel like cultivating these good girl practices, style on tolerance because, you know, what good and feel good. And obviously, I don't think that this is the long-term solution. I feel as though, well, I spent 4 weeks this summer at USC Annenberg in the news reporting in the digital age course. And during that time, I worked on an article about the process of educational systems. Under blogs if you wanted to read it, but I think the system is kind of a half-full situation. The system is not a really good thing for you, but at the same time, a lot of improvements to be made to set these kids up for long-term success. And, you know, a lot of us can't really imagine these kind of things that these kids have to go through. And so since these my generation usually gets this kind of support from our families, but at foster youth, don't have the same opportunities. And so I think that we need to support foster youth in any way we can, and we need to set them up for success before they leave the system. And so, like I said, one way I'm trying to do that is by making time kits. It's my goal to be able to make policy change so we can hopefully support our families. And I think that by giving the children a meal kit, I'm talking about socialism and a more deeply rooted issue. And so, as you asked, my struggles with this is that I've had to not only try to understand exactly what would help these girls most, because like I said, this is kind of a temporary fix for a more deeply rooted issue. And so the struggle has been, you know, what can I do with my limited time and resources to make a difference? And so, like I said, that's been really helpful, being able to talk to people and then make connections with 3YAs to be able to help me figure out the best way to do this.
That's great.
You know,
we may have to translate everything that you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I'm so hoping. You know, generally the playback is a lot clearer, but this is. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to try something different here because she's saying so much great stuff, and we're just not catching all of it. Caitlin, I'm going to have you call into us, okay? I'm going to give you the number.
Okay.
Can you write down the number?
Yes.
I'm so sorry about this. Gosh, we had her move several times, but she's just not getting a clear signal on her cell. All right, tell me when you're ready, and I'll give you the call-in number.
Ready.
It's 714-242-5288.
Okay, I'll call in now.
So you call in now. All right, thanks.
Let me explain how the program lays out over the 9 months. We start in late October. We have a parent student orientation. By the way, our big sponsors for this program are Connecta and the Manhattan Beach Rotary Club. And Connecta, even at our orientation, we hold the orientation at one of their training rooms and with the parents, and they set every single student up with a bank account. Connecta credit union account, even with just a little seed money inside each account. So they set that up. And then the kids start the class. They'll all be invited. One of the first field trips, we take them to the TEDxMB that's happening on November 3rd to the TEDx over at the high school. So they get to be inspired and they see what others are doing because many of those speakers are always a couple of the speakers are young adults as well. So they get to see that. And so that's kind of an inspiring start to the program as well. But the first few weeks, the first third of the year is spent learning business terms, learning just the whole idea of being acclimated to being able to understand when someone's talking business, what they're saying, coming up with their idea, deciding if that idea has legs and can it be moved forward. A lot of times, sometimes the students in the class will, one student will get together with another student and create a business, mm-hmm. which is fine. We've had two or three students do that where they get together with maybe two others or three others and create a business that way. Most of them are single-owned businesses, though, the ideas. And then the second third of the class, starting in January, is when we bring in our mentors. And every single student in the class gets an individual who is close, who has some experience with that project that they're developing. In other words, kind of, you know, either has a marketing background and can help them, but it's basically a mentor who can be there with them for the next 6 weeks at every class and work them through the process of writing out their business plan. We have a template for a business plan. Every piece of the business plan tells you what should be in this section. And so the kids are, you know, it's not something that's overwhelming. They have to create this 20-page business plan in a matter of a week or so. This is something that they work on from day one, actually. And the mentors really help them flesh it out and get it written and to where it's a nice presentation for the investor panel. And so they're working with the students. And then the last third of the class is where we start refining. They get business cards. They get a business license. They learn what it's like to go and get a business license. They work on their presentation, and their presentation styles we try to match to their style. We don't give a cookie cutter. We don't work on a cookie cutter, you know, gesture here, gesture here. We actually try to set them up where they're presenting in their own style, in their own personality. And, boy, that has great results. And then the investor panel. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we have a better connection with Caitlin. Caitlin, can you hear us now?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Mark was just discussing how the academy works and the different parts of it, and he was mentioning how each of you are set up with a mentor a few weeks in. So, who was your mentor, and tell us what they specifically helped you with?
So my mentor is great. Her name is Zara. And, you know, as I mentioned, before I came into YA, I had these really big ideas and not really an easy way to execute it. And so my mentor is really helpful in helping me narrow down my ideas. So that way it was actually a possibility instead of just a dream of mine. And so she helped me with everything from the math side of things to actually prompting me and saying, okay, what would be the best, you know, way to package the kit, the most cost-effective way to package them. And not only that, she gave me a lot of wisdom about business tips. So, you know, she helped me with marketing, how to use social media to help with fundraising efforts and stuff like that. She volunteered a space for me to hold an event in. She, you know, spread the word to her friend, and I got to introduce some of her friends who helped me with other things regarding Kind Heart. So she was just very helpful in, you know, kind of grounding me and also helping me, like I said earlier, make my dream into a more realistic possibility.
I have to ask, this is a volunteer-based organization, as I mentioned in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
How do you recruit volunteers? How are you doing that?
You know, it's something we learn, and I've tried to tell. I try to mention this to young adults, not only. Young adults, but your millennials, young adults starting out in business, they finish college and all that. But, you know, it's interesting. People, older, successful adults want to help out. People, I don't know why people think that, oh, I couldn't call him. He's too big or she's too, out of my league or whatever. But I got to tell you, these people want to help. There are a lot of people out there who actually say to themselves, I wish somebody would call me. I would love to help them and guide them and mentor them, you know. But what most of these people will say is, you have to reach out to us. We're not the ones who are reaching out. You know, you have to make that first step. And so.
All right. I want to hear how Caitlin, who are you reaching out to and how did you reach out?
So. Like, for example, when YA connected me to Chase Law Group, a couple weeks ago, actually, I was presented with the opportunity to speak at a Kiwanis Club meeting. And so from that, I made connections. Someone else generously volunteered their space for me to hold an event in. And so right now I'm actually in the process of organizing an empowerment day for foster youth, and that'll mark the official distribution of our kits. And so I'm really excited about that possibility. So someone generously offered a space. I've been reaching out to different companies. So, for example, OPI is donating, The Kind. I also got the opportunity to partner with this company called Delivering Good, and they partner with retailers.
Did you say OPI, the nail polish company?
OPI, correct, yes.
OPI, yeah. Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and so I also have the opportunity to partner with Delivering Goods. So they partner with retailers, and then they get products, and then they ship it to me. And so I've had that opportunity. A local author just reached out to me and an article published about Kind Heartedly in the Beach Reporter, donating books about, you know, goal self-confidence and all that kind of stuff. And so I think also our community, speaking of volunteers and how we get them, our community, the dollars behind youth who are trying to, you know, make change. And I feel very fortunate to live in a community that does everything in their power, you know, whether it's their wisdom, their time, resources, whatever, to youth who are trying to make change. And going back to your early question to Mark about how you get volunteers, when I was starting Kind Heartedly, this is one of the things that my mentor and I were talking about. And I find that when I volunteer with these girls, because they're the same age as me, it's more impactful for me, and I feel for other girls, to be able to volunteer with girls who are the same age as you, because we all have so much in common. And so in terms of getting volunteers for Kind Heartedly, there's so many girls, you know, at MiraCosta, there's so many volunteer organizations, and everyone is just very willing to do good, and I feel like that's a really important and beautiful thing that you don't see in a lot of places that we're really fortunate to have here.
Wow, you've reached out to quite a few different organizations. I would think that the first place you would reach out is in your high school, you know? That's interesting. Wow, Sandpipers and OPI. And, wow.
Right. Caitlin, are you a senior now?
I'm a junior this year.
You're a junior this year. Oh, my gosh. I look at that picture, and you just look like this young woman who is, you know, might as well just skip the rest of high school and college and go right into business. holy cow. And you sound like you might as well just skip high school and college and go right into business. But we probably can't afford you here at the chamber, but anyway, how easy is it for you on Wednesday, November 14th, to skip school? Should I be saying that? I'm not sure I should. Caitlin, you would be great to have Kind Heartedly at a booth at Women's Mastermind on November 14th.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday. November 14th, it's Women's Mastermind from 10 to 2, and the theme of it is metamorphosis, but how cool to see this young lady with Kind Heartedly and talking about it,
I believe that she doesn't have to skip school. She can probably get
hope.
For doing something like that. Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to your earlier point, because when I first called in, I heard you guys discussing how, you know, this should be a part of the regular school curriculum, because, yeah, I take classes that are important to me at school, like, for example, broadcast journalism. That's clearly helped me in so many different aspects of my life, but I feel like these skills, you know, public speaking, giving a presentation to a room full of adults, that's an easy thing that kids are achieve. And I feel like that opens so many doors for me. And that aspect of education, for me personally, when I'm sitting in a pre-calculus class, I'm not feeling as though that will, learn how to do the levels of math, but I don't feel as though that will help me in what I'm passionate about later in life. And YEA was one of the classes that, you know, still helping me. It gave me so many different tools that I still use, not just when I'm working with Kind Heartedly, but in so many other aspects. And so, you know, I think I could miss school on November 14th to come on down, because I feel like that is helping me grow, not only as a student, as the executive director of Kind Heartedly, but also as a person. I feel like talking with other women in business who are trying to make change is more helpful for me personally than, you know, sitting in pre-calculus.
I'll tell you right now, I've taken just about every calculus course there was in school, never used it again a day in my life. All right.
You were an accountant. You were in finance, right?
Well, calculus I took when I went to architecture school.
Right.
I had to take all the engineering and all the math and stuff. So
my middle son, who Joe knows, Jackson, stood the house one day, and he's looking at his class schedule. This was at the beginning of a school year or midway through, something like that, but he had the new class schedule. And he's looking at his class schedule. This was at high school, and he's going, Dad, the only thing I can see here that I might be using later on in life is woodworking. You know, there aren't enough life skills taught in the high school, and we really need to teach that.
I'm curious. When I went to high school, I took business classes where I learned, how to type, how to balance
right.
a checkbook, how, you know, basic business. Do they still offer basic business courses in high school?
Not necessarily to that extent. I mean, we have classes like financial algebra and intro to law and stuff like that, but we don't have a specific business class that is anything like YA.
You know, it's interesting. If you go into some of the high schools, I went into a high school in Wilmington, and over the corner of my eye, I caught what I thought were some students in chef whites. And I looked over, and there's this huge room with many kitchens, and all the kids were in there learning to cook. You know,
oh, I got
little,
a home ec class.
Little things like that. And, it really is. And here, if you want to get out of that STEM core
path.
Studies
yeah,
of English
path,
all of that you have in high school, you have to go over to Scrock. I mean, there should be, and I've talked to Mike Matthews and others about this. You know, if you want to be a doctor, there should be like an EMR class that's taught in school. So for those who maybe want to go become firemen or paramedics or doctors or whatever, they can get a taste of it, you know, and not have to go off campus to do that, but have a taste of it. And then there's a lawyer, Andy Kane, took a sabbatical from his law practice to teach a law class at MiraCosta. I'm not sure if they still teach that or not. Do they teach a law class there?
There's an intro to law class, but I'm not sure young or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much, but Andy would teach, you know, and that's for those kids who want to learn analytical thinking, putting together a case or just knowing the law and the twists and turns. And I mean, just really interesting stuff. But,
okay. I think that also, from what the Mike Matthews has been really helpful in helping in, helping me reach out to different members of our community, and different programs,
we're missing so much of what you're saying. It's really sad because you've got so many great things that we're catching glimpses of that need to be said.
Yeah, I
don't know why it is. I can't figure it out.
She comes in clear, and then it just completely muffles.
Right.
Which is, that's annoying. I'm hoping that the playback sounds a little clearer, because generally playback is clearer, but we're not having any luck here with this connection. It's frustrating. Technology. Anyway, it's interesting. I know for a long time that the arts education in schools were the first ones that got, next when budgets started happening.
And now vocational classes. We no longer have woodworking, I think, was canceled last year.
Woodworking, auto. there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But, fortunately, I will say this. I've always been a supporter of junior colleges because, they're generally – the pricing is much more reasonable, and you can go and you can just take, a couple of courses and all these different things. Cause they, like El Camino offers all these courses.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing where, if you're not getting that option at your high school, you can take a class one night a week, over at El Camino. And if you're interested in, vocational, you know, taking a vocational path. You know, I know it's more expensive than when I went, but it's still, the pricing is still a lot more reasonable, you know.
Right.
Thing, engineering, estheticians, you know, that sort of stuff. But it would be nice to get kids exposed to these different options at a younger age. Interesting, I just received a press release from the Automotive Driving Museum in El Segundo, and they are raising funds to create what's called a Super Service Center Children's Area. And they're going to have an area of the museum set up just like an auto repair shop, where they're going to have all, everything's in miniature. It's in kid sizes. And they'll have the cars up on a lift, and they'll have the tools and all the parts, and kids can, will be able to come in and learn how to change a tire, change the oil, you know, all the basic stuff.
That's important.
And but for kids, like little kids, you know, what I've always said is, I think the best thing that any child can be, they should be exposed to as much as possible, you know, because I think we all have our own innate gifts, and you may not discover them. You're not going to discover them until you're exposed to it. So whether it's taking young children to the theater or spending a Saturday showing them how to change the oil in a car, or giving them access to musical instruments, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Well, it's why I think the average job change is what, or career change is. Don't they say the average person changes careers like 6 times?
Oh, I don't know. I never read
something
that
like that. But I mean, it's amazing how many times a person changes direction with college and then out of college and all of that. And it's only because they get exposed. And all of a sudden, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that existed. I didn't know that I could make that happen, or that that even was involved, that area. You know, it is. You're right. They need to be exposed to these things. I think the only flaw with the Automobile Driving Museum is when those kids start working in that area, and when they go home and the parents wake up the next morning and find their car in pieces out in the garage, that's the only thing you got to worry about, you know. So, wow, he took all the tires off the car.
What a success. We're so proud of Junior.
Yeah. But, that's been a bone of contention with me for a
long
time.
Hey, guys, I got somebody that just called in. It's Pastor Don. He's been listening to the show, and he just called in. So say hello to Pastor Don. Pastor Don, you're on with us at the South Bay Show.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, calling in from Sunny Mesa, Arizona. The time is now 8:53 a.m., Oh, my God, this topic is amazing. I just love what y'all are doing, and power and light to y'all, because of it's hard to put these shows together and get people in, especially when you have technical difficulties beyond your control. But no matter what goes on, you have to keep it going. But I want to impart one thing that's important. The children are the future. Let her rest in peace. Whitney Houston made the song in 1985, and I remember going to the Minority Achievement Program, where they would take all the black kids out of class, and they would put us all in the room, and they would teach us all this business stuff, business modules and everything. Now, I've had my own company for 20 years. However, the catalyst started when I was a kid, and I played with checks as a kid because my father was a businessman. But actually going to school, and they had these extracurricular activities, they brought something out in me. And we don't have music in schools. We don't have parent schools no more. And the more they strip stuff away, and the less time they have for kids to go to school, and they change the statistics, and they're killing the grading curve. It's like we're trying to create robots, and then we want them to be happy people after they don't have enough money to go to college.
Good point.
You know, Pastor Don, I think.
Go ahead,
Mark.
Joe.
Well, I think what this is driving towards And we're already seeing it, Joe. We're seeing it with sports, with club teams and all of that. But what this is driving towards, we're going to be start developing more schools that are specialized, because we're not giving enough of a broad spectrum in our current public schools to where schools will have to be, where schools are beginning to develop that are science-based or business-based or vocational-based, or, you know, and it's beginning to narrowcast with our education with individual, you know, we've always had the performing arts schools where, you know, the performing arts high schools that you go to if you want to be in the theater and things like that. But the problem is, you know, if those are charter schools or if they're private schools, they're not accessible to everybody. And they need to be accessible. And so our public schools really need to think of themselves as being a little more broad and serving everyone, not just the overachievers and the underachievers, but the middle achievers, you know, the guys who actually build things.
Well, listen,
I want to make one quick point before I know we're running out of time, and I came from a radio background. Mm-hmm. 3 months carried into a radio station. I need 30 seconds. This is a really important point.
Yes.
When the teachers are not being paid to deal with the future leaders of tomorrow, we're not putting in proper audio. So if you send a bad audio going in, no matter how much you doctored up, you could put Puff Daddy on it or whoever you want on it, they can't make it sound like it's really a hit record. And what I mean by a hit record is, there's so many public schools that don't have the funding, they don't have the necessarily things that they need, but they have the greatest thinkers. The Albert Einstein, he was even kicked out of school and in special ed, but he was one of the greatest thinkers in this world. So our school system has been jacked up since the beginning of the time. The only problem is, with the internet being what it is, we're digesting information at 280 characters every 15 seconds. Now there's no more secrets. So with that being said, my name is Pastor Don Junior, CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network. I love this platform. This is not going to be my last time coming. I'm going to hang out until y'all hang me up. But this is a great network.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Don. Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Now,
we
just have a couple of minutes left. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to.
Go on.
Caitlin, you listening to us talk about the state of the schools, huh?
Yes. Hi.
Well,
it's kindheartedly.org?
Yes.
Kindheartedly.org. And I got to tell you, and by the way, it's a beautiful site. Beautiful site.
Thank you.
Okay, so Caitlin, what are your plans? You're in your junior year. This is a big year for you. You got some decisions to make, don't you? What's the future look like for you?
So, like I mentioned, right now I'm in the process of planning an empowerment day for female foster youth in the Los Angeles area. In April, I had the opportunity to go to We Day, which is a celebration for young change makers, and so it brought together inspirational speakers, celebrities, all that kind of stuff to raise awareness and to help give youth the resources to do good. And so I've actually been put into contact with one of their specialists, and she's been guiding me through this process of planning my first event. And so right now I'm working on planning that. I'm working on getting for all of the items that we're going to need in our kits. For example, all of our kits are packaged in backpacks to help eliminate the trash bag crisis, which is where foster youth have to bring all their items and places in a trash bag, which obviously is what we want to be happening. And so our goal is to package all the kits and backpacks, so we're looking for sponsors for that. And then, you know, just to distribute as many kits as possible.
All right. I've never heard of it referred to as the trash bag crisis. That's a new one on me. Joe, you want to wrap it up? You want to wrap us up here?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Pastor Don, for listening and calling in from Arizona. We have listeners all over, and we love to talk to you. So if you want to call in, please do so. We'd love to have you on a future show. So if you hear this, think about calling in someday, 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And as always, Thank you, Caitlin, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. Happy Friday, Joe. You have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jackie.
Always a pleasure. Kindheartedly.com, kindheartedly. Kindheartedly.org. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.